So this is the afternoon of May 2nd, 2016. This is a second part interview with Larry Sanderson and Jean Sanderson and
Katie Carmody Sanderson.
Katie Carmody Sanderson and Lisa
Rydell.
Lisa Rydell, and I'm Tom Martin. Larry, we had talked about the first river trip you did in 1957 and the second in 58. Let's talk now about the third river trip you did, is that right, in 1959?
Right.
What do you remember about that trip?
Well, we was to make a movie with Doc Marston's group, and they had three of the oar-powered boats, which one of them is here in the museum, was the one that Powell was supposed to have sat in. But it had the outboard motors, two of them, with steering with a just a rod sticking out with a fork on it that you could put your leg in and steer it with your leg while you were running like a sweep oar.
And how did you work the gas?
Person up above had the gas throttle, and it did have the steering wheel when we wasn't using it to steer the boat when we between rapids and between shots.
Okay.
And we put a round ring, a life ring, over the steering wheel.
During the filming?
For filming, so the person that was supposed to be running the oars was right at his back. And the boat was, we tried it first, but those outboards smoked a little bit, the idling, and so we had to quit using the motors when we were filming through the rapids. We made the river trip as doubles. I was Major Powell. My dad was Jack Sumner, who was running the sweep oar in the back. And then they had to pick actors to fit the doubles. That's why the movie never did anything. And Disney at that time made a dog story out of the movie of Ten Who Dared.
So whose idea was it to use the motors in the boats? Why didn't they just use oar boats?
Well, we used them between rapids, and we had to use the motors on several of the rapids. We ran the rapid back up and then
filmed it again. Okay.
And like 210, we I ran it up two times, and so it filmed it three times going down to make the long rapid of separation, which was at the end of the trip that Powell, or it was the last big major, and separation then was a big rapid, but 210 isn't. But filming they can, and in the studios throwing a lot of water and pitching the boats up. movie of Ten Who Dared didn't really make a movie out of it to speak of as far as people
was
seeing it.
Was it a fun river trip?
It was a lot of work. Right at first, they put on the clothing, and Powell had the wool clothes for like the Civil War, and the Park Service superintendent out of Washington was one of them. He was wearing buckskin. We didn't have life jackets, but we had Maywests, the rubber blown up kind, underneath the clothes, which made it that much hotter. And it was 3 weeks we were on the river. It was the first day we were dressed up, made up, and then waiting for the movie crew to get set up. 2 hours just waiting for them to get their cameras and all set up. We decided, or rebelled against them, says, you get the cameras there, then we'll get made up. And it came out all right, but we sat around in the sun waiting for the movie fellows to get their cameras ready.
Did they have problems with water or sand, lighting? The camera guys, did they ever talk about the troubles that they had filming?
They didn't really talk about it, but I know they had troubles, had problems, but some areas where we were running and filming, other than the rapids, was of scenic parts of the wall. Well, we would be going along, and they would be in one of our boats with the cameras on it, filming the three that were the Disney boats.
How many boats total were on the trip?
Six.
So the three Powell boats,
right?
The film boat, and then two other support boats?
We had our three boats, aluminum boats.
So the Butu, the Rattlesnake, and the Cactus?
Cactus were they carried the supplies, supply okay. boats.
Okay.
The three others were Disney boats.
Plus then the three Powell boats? So 9 boats in total?
No.
No.
They were just 6 boats all total.
Okay. Got it. So 2 Disney boats, or sorry.
3 Disney boats.
3. And were the, how many of the replicas did they make? The ones with the hidden...
3 of them.
3 of those. Okay.
And one of them, was Powell's, is here in the museum here.
Okay. What else do you remember about that trip?
It was like any other trip, except for it was a lot of work with the filming. But being 3 weeks on the river was fun.
Do you remember what the pay was?
I know we... my dad paid for the boats from Doc Marston, mostly from that trip there.
Okay. And after the trip, then Doc sold the 3 boats to your dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was, the pay was mostly because of the filming of the Disney trip.
Nice. So your dad had the money to go ahead and buy the boats.
Yeah. Although every year we would fix the boats up for Powell. I mean, for Doc Marston for the next year.
Did he store them with you guys then?
Yeah. Okay. We kept them all year.
Where were they stored at that time?
At our house, wherever we were. Like, one time was at Kanab, and our trailer court had them parked in there. And then was here at Page.
Okay.
And we just maintained them, you might say, for Marston's trip.
Why did Marston get out of the boat business there? Why did he sell out, do you know?
No, except for he used little rubber rafts when they shut the water off here and only had 1,000 cubic feet down. Well, he went down.
In the sport yaks.
10-footers, I think, or 8-footers, 7-foot. I know the little bitty rubber raft, paddle boat, you might say, little life rafts.
They were tiny. Yeah, yeah, real tiny. So it's interesting, he sold out his boats here in 59, did the jet boat trip in 1960. I don't know what he did in 61 or 62, but in 63, it's a big reversion because they're back in these tiny little sport yak boats because the water's all gone.
Yeah.
Back behind the dam. So it just, that 1960, 1959 was a pretty interesting time there. There is some talk about the Disney people being pretty creative on that trip with, again, some singing of stories about the trip and the filming. Do you remember that at all?
No.
Okay. You're not a singer, so it's... but I think Garth was on that trip, is that
yes.
Right? Okay. What else do you remember about that 1959 trip?
The main thing I remember is just being made up every day to shoot the movie.
Every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it might be for an hour. That was most of the time we were made up for maybe 3 hours to the most. But usually it was just an hour or so during, and it might be just through a rapid that we will be shooting.
Did you get in on the filming up basin up around Moab and
no.
That country? Okay, just the Grand Canyon
yes.
section. So in 1959, what were you doing besides doing the boat thing for 3 weeks?
I was Powell in the movie.
Okay.
And going through a rapid, sitting in the chair, I had my hand out of my shirt pocket or shirt, hanging onto the chair, and where I could wave and signal to the other boats, supposedly.
Right. But you're hanging on.
Hanging on. Yeah, sitting in the chair with you, and your sleeve fastened down with for the right arm being missing.
Gene, didn't he hang from the canyon wall?
But it was sort of a fun trip just to be on the river again.
Well, there's a good question here about did you guys play around with the part where Powell has to grab the pants and get pulled up by the guys up on the cliff there?
No, that was
a basin
up above and with the where they could get actors at the scene.
Okay. Okay.
And that's when the dog was supposed to save Powell.
Well, that's Walt Disney. Yeah. Did you guys meet Walt at all, or was it just the film crew?
Just the film crew.
Was Ed Iansen on those trips? Does that name ring a bell?
Ed Hansen?
Iansen. Yeah, it doesn't...
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. What else were you doing in 1959?
Mostly as a high scaler.
Okay, here.
Still at Glen Canyon Down.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a bit. We kind of left off. You were high scaling with a bucket of paint to do the profiles.
Right.
For the map makers. How did you then transition into the next stage of the dam construction?
I was when there wasn't any high scaling to be done, well, I was either we was working on other parts of the we wasn't actually building the dam, but we were involved in just about all phases of the dam that we had that the Bureau had to oversee, and I was quite a bit on the river before the lake. I've taken politicians up to Rainbow Bridge, and so I was involved in a lot of the little films that that the Bureau made to publicize the dam. I had a group of Russian scientists on the boat one time going up, took them up to Rainbow Bridge. And then I took them into a side canyon that I'd been in the day before where I knew I could turn around. But it was only about an inch of clearance for the boat. And I took them in the narrow canyon and then this one place where I could turn around. It was a 31-foot uniflight with twin engines, and as I started turning it around, I had to put the bow in the right against, almost against the wall in a little notch, and as I was swinging the back end around, holding the bow, just not touching, but as close as I could get it, and that Russian scientist, he'd run back at the back of the boat and look at it and run back up in the front and look. And after I turned around and started back out, he told the interpreter to tell me, "You have, or I have seen everything. I can die and be happy."
Wow. Wow.
He didn't think that you could turn it
around like that.
Make it turn around in there. But I was, the day before, I'd already turned around, so I knew just how I could do it.
Clever.
But with those twin screw V drives, I could make that boat do about anything.
So did you keep working then for Reclamation here out of Page?
Here at Page for 28 years I worked for the Bureau here.
Okay, and did you continue being sort of the VIP boatman, if you will?
I was, when there was any boating to be done, I would do that. We had Princess Margaret and Lord Snowden out on one trip, which was a fun trip. We've had the Kennedys. Bad trip.
Why? Now, I've heard the this kids, about the Kennedys. Tell me.
The kids were unruly, throwing rocks and things. But it wasn't a real pleasant to have the Kennedy kids on.
Was that 67 or 68 in there somewhere?
Could have been.
Okay. And who else?
Norman Rockwell.
Norman Rockwell was doing some paintings for the Bureau.
Ah.
And I had him up on the lake for, and then the second time I had him up, he had his wife with him. And so I had the 31-foot Uniflight that they could sleep on, and I did all of the cooking and the boating and taking care of them. But they were the sweetest people you ever knew. I really enjoyed. In fact, Norman Rockwell's, he was doing some sketching and that. Well, I started sketching with him. And he sent a correspondence course for me to just.
Oh, how cool is that?
Correspondence course.
Wow.
I didn't really finish it like I should have, but I did make a few paintings.
Yes, you
did. But,
so while you were working for Reclamation, then your brother Jerry started.
He was a ranger or on the police force.
Here
for
in
the
town?
Bureau.
Oh, for the Bureau.
Baron Page. He came after Page was built.
What did he do then after he got out? Let's back up a little bit. After he got out of the service, what did he do?
He was working for aircraft in California. And he was doing welding, mostly aluminum welding.
Okay. Lockheed, Burbank, I mean, who?
Rock, or,
Boeing?
No.
I don't know who it was.
Oh. Why, I can't.
No worries.
I'll think of it later. But, because I even went to work for him, too, for about 6 months.
Okay.
Before I came to Page.
Huh. All right.
Or came to
Lockheed. Was it Lockheed?
No.
Okay, so he's still in California welding. You're out here now.
I was doing as a machinist in California.
Okay.
And then came to Page as a high, got in as a high scaler.
And so Jerry's still out there in California.
Jerry's still out there.
Okay.
And then when Jerry did come to Page as a ranger, which is a police officer, and he had to use his experience as being a MT, air, you know, shore patrol, for his police to show how he could be a police officer.
And that was that basically all the training he got?
That was all the training he got. Because it was a government town and government people. It wasn't that bad, except for he did get in a scrape with the two Indians that he tried to pull over, and he was got in a fight with them, and one of them got his pistol and shot, but it missed him, and Jerry said he just hit him and dove. It was at nighttime, dove out in the tulies, and the Indian that shot at him went off a foot, and a year later, well, they was able to get him off of the reservation. But when they're on the reservation, they're safe, unless the Navajo police will do something.
So when did Jerry decide that there were other things to do besides work for reclamation?
When I had to take this government trip down through the canyon, Floyd Domine, the commissioner of the Bureau of Reclamation, I'd had out on the lake several times, and he knew I still had these boats. And he called me and wanted me to take Gene Tunney, congressman from California, from San Diego area, which was on a committee in Washington about the Marble Canyon Dam site and Bridge Canyon, and wanted me to take him down the river. And I told him, we can't run the power boats anymore, the aluminum boats, because it's too low of water, just generating from the power plant. But I says, Ted Hatchett told my dad and I on one of our trips that if we ever wanted to try one of his rubber rafts, to let him know.
Okay.
And he says, you got 3 weeks to get the trip ready.
Floyd did.
Floyd Domine told me. Gave me a date.
Yes, sir.
You know, being a commissioner, I mean, the highest boss. And he didn't call the bureau office or the that. He'd call me personally. Call me up to, and he'd call the dam and have me come up there to the office, and he'd talk to me on the phone. And so I told him, all right. He gave me the date. And I tried to call Ted. He was on the river. And it was about 4 or 5 days later that he would be off. And then he was in Utah. And he says, I haven't got a thing I can let you use. Here a week went by. He says, call Jack Curry. He says, he's trying to get and start a river trip business. He says, I had to buy some boats from him. So I called Jack, told him how want to rent or buy or steal something. I got to get these boats because I've got this government trip. And He says, I haven't got a thing I can let you use, but I'll sell you some. And so I said, well, I'll be up there in the morning.
This
so I left that night.
To Salt Lake?
Drove to Vernal.
To Vernal.
Utah. And I bought three of the rubber boats from him.
His
you know, they're just the government, or were pontoon boats.
So now Jack was running what they call that J-rig.
Was before he ever started the J-rig.
Okay.
They had just bought a bunch of the rubber rafts.
Okay.
Which were bridges.
Yep.
And,
Now, I'm thinking, because Ted at the time was simply running tail draggers. He didn't have side tubes.
He ran one, just the one.
Just the one.
Georgie ran three.
Now, Jack was thinking about all this, and he ended up with all the single tubes and not the oval at all.
Yeah, that was later after he had got started. But he just ran with the motor in the back.
Right.
Hanging off of the back. Single. Georgie had her motor on the back of the center one with three. And when I brought the three back to Paige, I blew them up in my driveway. Blew two of them up and we was looking at, let's, if Georgie runs three and Hatch runs one, let's run two. So we fastened two together, painted them up, and put it where the two came together in the back. We made a little platform there and the outboard on it. And so you ran it actually outside of the boat on this little platform. And we ran two of them. And
now, hang on, I'm going to jump in here. At that point, the bridge pontoons, they had a floor in them, didn't they?
Floor in it.
Right.
And
so that's a good idea. You don't have to cut the floor or anything.
The motor was on the outside.
Exactly.
And the newspaper from San Diego came out of it from the trip. It was a real good article, several pages, except one little paragraph. How we stuck it to them for price. I was told to just charge him for what it cost me. And so I had to buy the boat, and we used our old Evinrude.
From the
power boat.
Uh-huh.
And it cost $490 a piece for the five. They were two couples and a reporter from the magazine or newspaper from San Diego.
So Floyd and his wife?
No, it was Gene Tunney and his wife and another couple.
Okay.
A friend of theirs.
Okay.
And so they was five people. And I mounted two oars on it so I could justify Euro boys to run one oar and one on another oar on the outside of each one, one for a Euro mechanic, and my wife then, Sue, as the cook, and I was the boatman, in charge of the trip, and Jerry was my second boatman. So they was four bureau fellows and my wife.
So seven of you in all, you and Jerry.
They was five of the 5 passengers and 5 crew.
Okay.
So we had made a real fun trip out of it.
How long did you take? Do you remember?
We had 5 days to, 5 days to, no, we did go on, had 7 days to Diamond Creek, but they choppered out.
Okay. Did you fuel
Whitmore
up?
Whitmore area.
Did you fuel up at Whitmore?
We fueled up with the rubber rafts. We didn't fuel up. We carried enough fuel.
Okay.
I had 2 30-gallon gas drums or barrels. So I had 60 gallons of gas mounted on it. Yeah. Yeah. So we made it just a fun trip out of it.
And that was 66, 67?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
But it was after the dam was in and generating.
Right. So it wouldn't have been 63. It might have been 64, but
no, it was after that.
I made the last aluminum boat run with Dad in our hard boats in 65.
So it was probably 3 years at least, or 4 years.
So 66 or 67.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but when that article came out, they called me up in the office. From Washington, reimburse them I had to reimburse them $200 a piece. $1,000 I had to borrow from the bank.
And you told them to call Floyd, talk to Floyd, right?
And and I told Jerry, let's write everybody that went down with my dad and I. And Joe DeLoge called me right back in just 2 days after we had, probably as quick as he got it, the letter. He called me and says, I want to take my whole family, grandkids and all.
Is that right?
When do you want to go? He says in 3 weeks. So that was the year we took our second trip with the 2 boats. And
so you were doing the same thing on the second trip, the 2 tied
together?
The 2
tied together.
Okay.
And because this is what my dad wanted, to go into the river business when he retired, but he got cancer and
passed
away.
When was that?
64 he died.
Okay.
64? But anyway, he had wanted to go into the river business. And so I told Jerry, you know, we've got the equipment. That's when we sent off to the different people that had gone with my dad.
So you got some good response from Joe DeLoge right away. Did you get response from anybody else?
No, he was the only one that we got a response from. And we took him down, and we took Stan Jones from here to make brochures out for us. And Stan Jones made a beautiful brochure, and we was gonna schedule 3 trips for 6 trips for the next year.
68 or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
The following year. And I went to the bank and borrowed $5,000 for advertisement. And we sent that off for advertisement. And before we knew it, I guess we had three trips scheduled, but three charters, full charters came in. So we had six trips. Well, these boats are not going to hold up. Only three, using two and one for a backup. June, Jerry's wife, called around, and in Las Vegas, there was a surplus, Army Navy surplus place that had the boats. So I went over there and bought four more boats, and he had one bigger pile or rubber raft. He says, "I don't know what that is." And for $25, well, throw her on the truck. It was the pontoons.
The side tubes.
The side tubes. They were fastened together, four of them, that were rolled up in one roll.
Oh.
All fastened together. And so we blew it up. We looked at it. Let's put one on each side of one boat. Put the motor in the inside. We cut a hole out of the center of the back for the motor to go down. And we glued a ring from a truck tire, the rim part, to it so it was round, and tied it up, and the motor stuck down in inside. And with the two pontoons on the side. And we had one kid that was on the trip with Joe DeLoge from St. Louis. He says, "I want to work for you," you know, when we talked about it. And so we called him, and he came over.
Was this Joe Jr.? Was this one of Joe DeLoge's kids?
No.
Okay.
This was just a fellow that happened to be here that we was talking to that was out from St. Louis, which where Joe DeLoge was actually from.
Do you remember this kid's name?
Wright. For some reason, names are bad.
No worries. No worries. Okay, so he's got this kid who wants to work for you.
But we put him on that boat to run that boat.
So hang on a second. Let me think about this. So the floor in the bottom of the boat comes back to a truck tire to keep the water from coming in and flooding out the front of the boat.
The back of the boat where the motor goes.
Right. So that's kind of sealed off from the
floor
rest.
Was still in.
Right. So you hadn't gotten a frame yet to sit in this.
And we built a frame.
Well, you did. Okay.
The picture, I think, is right out here.
Okay.
And we had the barrels for gas. We had them on it. And had it for all of the gear. My double boat. For the passengers.
Okay.
And When I got to Phantom Ranch, I called Jerry and told him to start making frames. We've got our unit. We're going to that boat with the two pontoons.
What did you see about that boat that was better than the Hatch 1 oval, the Sanderson 2 oval, or the Georgie 3 oval?
Right. What? It was the thing.
Why?
It maneuvered easier. We could carry gear, and we could carry the passengers on that. And so if we ran two of those on a trip, you would be running two at 12 people on each one for passengers. You could take to 14 or 24 paying passengers and two crew on the, or a pilot and a crew person on each boat. And it just looked like that was the thing. And so Jerry started welding one, making one up with aluminum while I was finishing the trip. And we got it back and bought more of the pontoons and started.
So then once you made the frame, you realized you didn't need the floor at all. Cut that out?
We cut the floor out on the second one because water poured in and we'd have to pull the front up and bail water out.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And so we didn't need to stick the motor down in a hole.
Right, right.
In the water.
You could just hang it off the back of the frame.
Back of the frame that right. we made.
And then when did you guys start making your own fuel tanks for the frames?
Well, Jerry, his second frame, he made fuel tanks, welded aluminum fuel tanks on it. So we had built-in fuel tanks in the frame. We had storage compartment plus ice chest compartment.
And how was it that Ron Smith then started copying you guys?
Probably 3 or 4 years. You know, when we see somebody, oh, that looks good. Let's adopt it.
Yeah.
It's just like now a lift.
The Jackass.
The Jackass lift is that you couldn't pick these newer motors up. David, my son, I tried to design a spring from a door lift.
Yeah,
aid in it, but it didn't work.
Hmm.
And David had a trampoline that had little springs on a trampoline.
Yeah.
And so we designed, hooked the trampoline to the frame and onto the Jackass lift, and we put six of those springs on, and you touch the handle of the lift, and whoop, whoop, it comes with the motor on it.
Huh.
Oh, let's take one spring off. And made it so that, and I made the first trip with that lift, with those bigger motors, but I had to tie it down going through a rapid, because it would flip up by itself. So I had a loop on a little rope that I could hold a handle, and I could flip it off if I needed it, or let the little rope hold it down. And so I took another spring off to make it where it
would stay down.
Try and stay down. But it's still in the big rapid, that motor would flip up. So I still carried the extra little rope to hold the handle of the lift down.
So the early Sanderson boats had oars there on the sides and the back. Was that a right away from the start you had those oars on?
Or did they come later? I put the oars on strictly for justifying two more bureau boys to go on. We was all been on the government payroll, our government job.
Okay.
Taking this government trip. And so I had two extra bureau boys, which one of them was Bill Diamond. And when we started the business the first year, I was going to take two trips, and Jerry take two trips, and Bill Diamond could take two trips on our vacation time. I got 26 working days or days a year, annual leave. I had enough time in, 15 years in with the government.
Okay.
That I had 26 days annual leave. If you take a trip scheduled for 2 weekends and 5 days, it would take 5 days of annual leave to take a river trip. Because we were running at 7 to 9 days. Most of them were 9-day trips at first. And if I scheduled my trips with a holiday, I'd only use 4 days of annual leave.
Oh, nice.
So I could take more river trips.
So how did you work out once the bureau guys were gone? Why did those oars stay there? Were they just sort of a backup?
We used them, we thought, for a backup. We never did use them.
Right, okay. Okay.
But we only had them for a couple years.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah. So you mentioned Bill Diamond. The Bill ran for you guys. When did he branch out to start his own company?
After Jerry had bought me out. Bill quit and went to work for Jerry. And Jerry was giving Bill shares. For
not cash, he was giving him shares.
Plus cash.
Okay.
But see, we went from the two trips, 6, 12, 28, 42.
In five years. In 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the business was, after 3 years, we had to quit advertising. Because we were getting people that went with us 1 year, was getting a full trip to go with them the next year. Because we gave them two free trips, people,
to charter,
make
the
their
trip,
own
to,
charter
to make
trip.
Their own trip. Yeah. How were you dealing with the Park Service for permits at the time?
The Park Service didn't come in. Then we could just go down Lee's Ferry and put in and go.
Would you even send them so much as a how do you do, we're going to launch on the 10th of June, or would you just go?
You just go.
Huh. Okay.
Whenever you wanted. The Park Service wasn't involved. Nobody really controlled it.
Hmm. When did it come to the point where the Park Service said, hey, you gotta let us know or apply for a permit, that kind of stuff?
When we had 58 trips, or 54 trips.
Okay.
The Park Service says, no more.
Okay.
So Georgie and Jerry and Hatch had the high quota. The others that were starting up and coming, they had the quota from what they ran that year when the Park Service came in. And then the Park Service changed it from so many days or so many parties to so many people days. And they was making changes.
So in 1972, the Park Service made all of the special use permittees into concessionaires.
Then they, right.
Right. Did you guys get a wind or a word that they were going to do this, and they were going to count your 1971 use and make that your 1972 use, so you better get as many trips on the water in 71 to look good for 72.
No, they didn't really. We was, in fact, then Jerry was just busy. My job was training boatmen.
Okay.
I'd have a new boatman as a crew on board with me, and I'd take, when I go down, well, I was training boatmen.
How many trips would a boatman do in the early days before they got their own boat?
One trip with me. One trip as a second boatman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When it doubled up from, they wasn't any boatmen.
Right.
And then they probably ran two trips. They ran the second trip with the other boatman that I'd already trained and was started running. They had run with him, and then the next year, or next trip, they would be a second boatman.
Sure.
Second boat.
So not quite see one, do one, teach one. See one, do two, teach one. Yeah. Okay.
So they learn fast.
Yeah. It seemed as though some of the companies got an inkling that the 1972 was going to freeze everything. And they ran a lot of trips in 71 just because they had some kind of inkling that was going to happen. Was there any bitterness between the groups? You know, they knew and they cranked it up and now we're frozen. If I had known the year before, I would have put on more trips.
We couldn't put on more trips.
Didn't have the people?
We didn't have the people or the equipment.
Or the boats.
Boats.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, but 54 is a lot of trips.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of trips.
From 28 to 54.
And you guys were still making your own frames?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jerry had pretty well quit running the river. He might make two trips out of the year when we had that. But he was busy doing the politicking and the making the frames up, and we had rented a warehouse, and then he built this building.
And that, when did he build this building? When was that?
Boy. It was after Bill Diamond and him were still before they divided.
Hmm. Okay, so. And they divided before 1972, so maybe 71 or 70?
Karen would probably know.
later than that.
I think it was later
was
than
it?
That.
Was it?
I'd have to find out maybe from Jody or
okay.
from Haas.
What do you
Kevin.
What do you recall from some of those early river trips from the late 60s, early 70s?
I really enjoyed taking people down the river. It was a different trip because of different people. And the people you took down made the trip. And so it was, even though it was the same river and the same equipment, it was a different trip each, and different river elevations. And you had times when they was releasing more water. You had to gauge the flow of the river from the nighttime release would be low. Well, that low would be 1 day down, 2 days down. You had to run the river according to the higher releases for some of the rapids you wanted to run. And so you didn't just run your campsites. You'd have it to where you might have to have an early breakfast to get people on the river early while you still had higher flow for a certain rapid you wanted to run. And
the dam was running some pretty big swings from 3,000 or 4,000 to 25,000, 30,000 every day?
I don't think it was average, probably in the 20 or low 20s.
Okay.
To maybe
5,000.
And 5,000, you could still run all of the rapids.
It was bony.
Yeah. I ran one trip for Fort Lee. 3,000 was the high. It was over a 4-day holiday.
Wow.
And I had to pick up passengers at the Little Colorado. 4 passengers that flew in, 1 boat with 1 crew person with me. So they was just 6 of us.
So you were deadheading down to the LCR to pick up these people coming
in? Pick up the people.
But then you had to deal with Hans at low water.
And they only had 3 days to get to Lava Falls.
Wow. So you were making miles.
Ran straight power all the way with that lightweight boat. You know, with passengers and your gear was less, so because they had theirs coming in on the chopper with them, so they were limited.
Okay, right.
But they were only on for 3 days.
So you didn't have all that much food?
No.
Okay. But Horn Creek must have been fun at 3,000.
Horn was like a waterfall. I went right over the 2 horns.
Oops. Huh.
Almost a 10-foot waterfall. It really surprised me.
Oh.
The 2 pontoons, the boulders that make the horns were out of the water.
But splitting the horns was your normal modus operandi. Yeah. Had you thought about maybe coming around them and coming back in?
No, I didn't think. I've never come around.
Okay.
I've always run the horn.
Okay.
He likes the worst there is.
But I took it and the boat rubbed the rocks on both sides, the pontoon. I saw in Dubendorf a big tabletop rock that I'd never seen before. It was out of the water. And House Rock, all of them, you just was barely...
At Bedrock, did you...
At Bedrock, the boulder, the water wasn't even running around on the left-hand side of it. And I had to pull the motor up and drug on rocks as it pushed me across it.
To get out the bottom.
It was hardly touching, water was hardly touching the big boulder.
Wow. So it was all going left. You
all
couldn't go
going
right.
Left.
Wow.
Nothing, no water on the right-hand side.
Were you
it.
Able to kind of work around in the eddy in there to get lined up to make the exit there, or?
I just ran. Because I was restricted on time. I couldn't stop and look at a rapid. At Lava Falls, the big boulder that causes that, water was going, and I, when I went around it, looked back and saw the boulder.
Wow.
It was, water was still, most of it was, some was going over it. Mm. Hardly any going around on the left side.
Wow.
And most of the water was on the right-hand side.
Huh.
And I was able to get around and just have one quick look. And
wow. Huh.
And it was really almost a nightmare running. But I enjoyed it.
Of course, of course.
The thrill of just being on the river. And probably I have seen more from highs to lows than any of the boatmen, and maybe one or two other people that had...
Well, all those people that came in the second half of the 1960s, they had not seen...
They hadn't seen the...
The pre-dam high flows.
No.
They'd never seen that.
One year, we had 80,000 releasing from the dam.
1983.
And Gene was on it with me, and we were able to run Lava Falls on the left-hand side of the hole. It was really, I enjoyed that, seeing what I had run with the powerboats.
Wow.
And she was scared to death.
I didn't want to go in the water.
And we hardly made, got anybody wet.
Well, that's what I remember Doc saying, writing about the high water trips. He thought they were safer because everything was washed out for the most part. You know, there was some weird hydraulics around Palisades in there somewhere, if that rings a bell.
Yeah.
But most everything, South Dodger was gone, Grapevine was gone, Hance was gone. I mean, everything that was just...
Well, Hance wasn't gone, but Hance was easier running.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Everything got...
The rocks in the front of Hance were covered over.
Right.
You could scoot around them, and we still ran from the right-hand side and to the left-hand side and then down on the left-hand side.
Let me ask you about that Hance run, because I have a series of photographs from a river trip in 1967 of Jack Curry, and he's running the left side in a J-rig, going left of that kind of muffin rock on the left at the top. There's a big kind of flat-top sandstone rock there. He's coming in left of that thing. Were you always running right to left? I know Doc ran right to left.
Right to left.
Okay, all right.
That's the way I've always run it.
Okay, okay. And that's what everybody's doing now.
Yeah.
Because the left side is closed. But, yeah.
With the low water, left is out.
It's out now at high water. Well, I don't know what high water is for you. High water is we're not seeing anymore.
But you run from the right hand and cut across. The boulders there in the right-hand side, or center to right-hand side, stops the water, and so it's easy to cut across. You cut from the right with the big rubber raft, you're only, 5 miles an hour as fast as those boats will go in the water, plus the river, you know, you can scoot around and make an easier run out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've seen the river before and after the dam.
Right.
And you've seen some changes.
Big changes in the river. We didn't have campsites. We camped in boulders. The high water, no sand beaches at all.
When the water was really up.
When the water was high.
Yeah.
You didn't have sand beaches. That in 57 and 58, you were in boulders. Because way above the normal high water even.
Did you have troubles? More troubles on those trips, 57 and 58, with things like ants? Because some people had said that the high water would push all these ants up, and there would be a lot of them, you know, and then the water would drop and they'd kind of come back down again.
I don't remember any.
Okay. And how much vegetation was along the riverside back then?
We didn't have near as much of the salt cedars. And then we gathered driftwood for camps, or else we cut dead mesquite.
Good firewood.
That was because of the coals that you would make and fixing with Dutch ovens. And in the days, even with before the Park Service came in, we had to use driftwood and that before we and made a fire pit. And the worst part about that was is once in a while somebody would throw out the ashes to build a fire in your fire pit instead of using it. They'd be ashes.
They'd chuck them out.
Just chucked out on the beach.
Mm. So that got
wasn't
to be a
any
mess.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
I had one lady that was from New York. Her bag was full, and her bag kept getting lighter and smaller. And I wondered, and I finally asked her, what are you doing? She was wearing different clothes each day. She says, I bought a bunch of clothes from the Goodwill. And so she had these things. And she was burying her clothes at night.
Wow.
It was the last day before I finally
figured it out. Oh, my gosh. Huh.
But you have people like that that is interesting, different people, different, making it a different trip each time.
Yeah. And I had heard Jerry say the same thing, the exact same thing, that it was the people that made the trip.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like because of different people, you enjoy making them happy, and in turn, it feeds back.
Yeah. If they have a good trip, you have a good trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw Doc?
The last time was when we made the movie, A Ten Who Dared.
Okay. Okay.
59.
Hmm. All right. Because he ended up doing a number of trips with Ron Smith as a trip historian. One trip a year, basically, he would do that.
I guess I did see him, but it was just like at Lee's Ferry,
okay.
Or I don't think that I ever saw him on the river after the Disney trip.
Okay. Yeah, he was only around a couple days at a time.
Yeah.
Was he friendly then? Did he,
Go
out of his way to say hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about Jimmy Jordan. What do you remember about Jimmy?
I didn't have that much time with Jimmy. I had more with his son.
What do you remember about Jimmy Jr.?
What?
Jimmy Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you remember about him?
He was a good kid. And helped as much as anybody. In fact, in those earlier trips, you had more people that helped on the trip. And they're the ones that are the happiest. It's a person that's... we've had a few psychiatrists. Bad. They need one. And I had more problems with, I think, a psychiatrist than anybody else.
Dad, we had the people, and I'm not sure their names, that were from Indiana or Indianapolis. And they had us come as a family after they'd made several trips to watch the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, that's nice.
That was a charter trip, a group from, and they invited me and my family to the 500 and to live with them there for 3 days or so.
It was so cool.
Fun.
They just...
Gave back
what we gave them.
Oh, that's fun.
And they had us out to some dance and
a dinner in a very tall building with the first time an elevator on the outside of the building.
Wow.
Things that you had never seen before. And,
yeah.
The seats was front row seats, right from the where they'd pull into
the pit, run on the cars. Yeah. So you Jerry bought you out, but you kept working for Jerry.
Although I worked for him, I guess I was paid some. But I didn't know that June was paying Social Security and for me. And when I retired, well, I found out I didn't have to get my 40 quarters. I had a bunch of quarters of the year already in.
Nice. Because she put that in. Why did Jerry sell?
Why did he sell? I don't know. I wouldn't have. I shouldn't have. But I tried to save a marriage.
He asked, why did Jerry sell?
No, sorry. Why did Jerry sell?
Money.
Yeah.
You know, you get $3 million and get to keep your business, your building and your hangar and your airplane and your boat, and this boat is right out here. And he wouldn't have to worry anymore. You know, a good retirement.
They had a good run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Huh. Fun.
And I think it was, he didn't run the river like I did. I ran it to please people. He ran it to make himself look.
Okay. But it sounded like he only did a couple trips a year, certainly toward the end there, when he was busy. And I would imagine that, and I don't quite know how to put this in words, your first trip in 1957 and your last trip working for Sanderson River Expeditions, or Sanderson Brothers, okay? There was a business that got between, or could have gotten between, a fella and the river. And that might do something to you. I don't know. I don't know quite how to frame the question or ask the question.
I wasn't involved in a lot of the business sessions. The business part of it, we left Jerry and June.
That might have been why he sold out.
Mine was the other. Mine was, my interest was the river.
Yeah.
And the people on the river.
Yeah.
And
What do you see now when you, because your last river trip was just last year or the year before,
yeah,
is that right?
Last year.
What do you see now on the river? I mean, how has it changed down there?
Well, it's changed by Park Service requirements. Some are good, but some aren't so good. Yeah. But they want to make the river better. The environmentalists have made changes. Because the Park Service is very environmental. And they have made some restrictions that the commercial runners would abide by regardless, without the Park Service, to make the river better. But it does keep the private trips that only make a few trips or one trip. It gives them restrictions on what they can do and can't do, which is not bad. But I like to do my own thing. And I enjoy that river something. That's my life. And my last trip last year was with my kids. It was my granddaughter's trip, her permit. The other commercial river runners, that were come up to me, like one of them took his hat off and gave me his hat. Nobody is worthy of this but you. You know, it makes you feel good. Will you sign my river book?
Yeah.
You know, commercial river runners that have made 75 or 80 trips wanted to just to talk to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's people make the river as much as the river.
Fine. As we wrap this interview up, is there anything else you want to add to this that I haven't asked you that you were thinking, oh, I should talk about or I should cover?
Not really. I know my life has always been to donate people. Like I've put 33 years in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, making the lake and the boating safer. I was on 18 years on the Page Fire Department, 6 years as on the EMT with the ambulance group. A lot of that is just donating time. I look back and think, boy, I donated too much time away from my family. But we would go out on hunting trips, on fishing, out on the lake. We did a lot of things together. And so I was, I did a lot of church work. And I feel that I'm a strong Christian. Don't drink, don't smoke, but I enjoy people as much as I enjoy being with you.
Well, we've had a wonderful time, and thank you very much for your time today going over this.
One thing about Dad so much being on the river is even when I was 12 and I made the river trip, we were taking archaeologists for the government to document what was the caves and the all where there were pottery beds and just all this stuff. And it was so fascinating, but it was so, Dad has the knowledge of all those areas of all where there's drawings on the walls. It's amazing to what he can tell, especially when he gets in these areas. And then it just all these stories come out. It's
fun.
It is.
Lisa, do you have any other questions for Larry?
No, not now. I think that's enough.
I had a doctor on one trip that was a very close friend of mine. But he put down on paper my life. He thought I had a fantastic life. And then he put it on, had Gene and I go out, me run the houseboat for houseboat trips out on the lake while he took tapes of my life.
Oh, fun. Gene,
that was a great trip.
Where are those tapes?
I was going to look and see if I still had a set of them. They were on two little cassette tapes for each set. He had made about 10 pack kind of copies, I think. I was going to look for those. We've moved two or three times, twice. And everything gets changed, you know, when you move. But I think they're in his bottom drawer. And of his keepsake stuff. He has a whole drawer full of things.
It'd be great to get those transcribed.
They're in invoice.
Yeah, it'd be great to get them transcribed.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
When we get home, I'll look for them again. We gave sets, I think, to nearly all of the kids, whether they still have them or not.
Big people don't have recorders for them. I mean, tape players.
We don't even have a cassette player anymore, but you do.
And you simply play it with the recorder running.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you make an immediate digital.
Oh.
And so, Gene, do you have anything else you'd want to add to this interview as we're...
Oh, the things I remember are the stories he's told that he would tell the people at night around the campfire that would... If somebody had been doing something wrong, you know, on the trip, he could make tell a story that would let them know in a nice way that that wasn't right, you know, but at the same time it was an interesting story to the whole group. And he enjoyed, he cooked breakfast every morning and the evening meal with help, of course, but he was the main cook. They had a hot meal every morning and every night. And some of the other companies did not do that. So that was one reason they were, I think, a little more expensive than some of the other
people. Well, you have full course meals from soup on. They were full course meals.
And ice cream. Crank.
Yeah, they made ice cream. And they had
birthday cakes if somebody had on there. You'd make a birthday cake in the Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm.
You might have biscuits and a cake and something else, and you'd have to, you know, sometimes three different Dutch ovens all stacked cooking.
So let, you know, this is where I dare to tread, and I only go here with trepidation. When you guys started in the mid-60s, do you remember what your per-person, per-night charge was?
It was $300 per trip.
10 nights or 9 nights, $300.
Right.
So about $30 a day,
yeah.
About. And now it's about $500 a day.
It's way up there.
It's way up there. Now, that equates to a change in clientele.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
My 58th or 9th trip, we went with Diamonds. The only trip that I went without running the boat. And it was hard on me to sit there and
not drive.
They let me run
10, 15 minutes, I think.
Oh, no, it was a couple hours. But so I did get to run the boat a little bit, but it was for Diamond's trip. And it was a hard trip for me to go with somebody else and not be in charge.
Every rapid we went through, he'd say, I would have done it this way.
Well, fun. Larry, thank you so very, very much.
Yeah.
For your time.
Thank
I
you.
Really appreciate
having
this.
Me.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you for the time. This is a lot of fun. I see there's some pennants out here, the skunk pennants.
That was on our, you'll see them on this picture.
Right there, yep. Yeah. So what's the story behind the stinkers?
I don't know whether my dad, probably my mother, got them.
Okay.
She was... And after my dad passed away, well, my mother would get trips up.
Because Doc flew those flags on his trips. And I wondered if those, were these the ones off the boats?
Yeah.
Okay, the ones that are over there. Fun. The first ones I've seen. I've seen lots of pictures of them, but the first real pennants, that's a lot of fun.
I don't know if Doc had the skunk pictures, but we had two, and it could have been the skunks that Doc brought on.
So in his house in the 1970s, in his living room, he had skunks, little stuffed ones, and little porcelain ones, and pictures all over the
skunk collection.
It's the skunk collection, yeah.
Evidently, then that the skunk was from Doc Marston, but my mother made sure we kept it going.
Good for her. Good for her. Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Well, thank you again.
Okay.
This is great. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Didn't know where they'd eat while I had those.